Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Well, when you look in the scriptures and you get kind of the fast forward look into the future, into the ultimate future, meaning heaven, what you begin to see very clearly is that heaven is a place for worship. This is what takes place in heaven, is worship, primarily. And here's like a really straightforward reality about that. The person who resists worship now is not ready for heaven. The person who resists worship in this place, and I don't mean the church, but in this world, is actually not ready for heaven. And I think that the reason we struggle with worship in this place, in this world, is because we largely misunderstand worship. We don't fully grasp when the scriptures talk about and describe worship, what that fully is. For a lot of us, we have this very tight view that worship is what we just did for the last 15 to 17 minutes, however long that was. Right? It's the music, it's the lyrics, it's the songs, it's whatever happens in this building during that time period, and that's what worship is. And that's too narrow of a view, and so we misunderstand what worship is. The other reason that we struggle with worship is that actually in our heart of hearts, we struggle with worshiping God. We actually struggle with the idea of giving worship to God that he rightly deserves, and so we resist that. But the reality is that you and I were created to worship. That is in your makeup. That is how you were designed. It's how you were made, was actually to worship. It's just a part of who you are. And whether you realize it or not, you and I worship far more than we realize. Well, that is, we're talking about that for the next few weeks, and we're unpacking that specifically today. So, as Josh mentioned, if you brought a Bible, open up to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to be spending some time today. While you're going to Romans 12, I do want to welcome you. Really glad every one of you are here today. I want to welcome all of our guests who are in their house. I want to welcome those of you who are joining us at Lighthouse Online. Super glad you're here today. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm just really glad you're here, and happy Father's Day to all the dads, all the men in the house this morning. Thanks for being here and joining us today. And I'm wondering, Lighthouse community, can we do a favor and welcome all of our guests, Lighthouse Online, and then all of our dads in the building today? Can we just welcome them and let them know that we're glad you're here today? Good. So we're kicking off this new series called Blurring the Lines. And what we want to do for the next few weeks is to blur the lines between worship and life. Right, to actually blur those lines to the point where you can't even really tell the distinction anymore. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about that. And specifically, we're going to be talking about things like worship and work. How does worship and your job or your work go together? How do you blur the lines between worship and home, right? How do you blur the lines between worship and when you are facing seasons of suffering in your life, right? Because worship has everything to do with all three of those areas, and so we're going to be unpacking all of that today, over the next few weeks. But today, we're specifically going to be talking about what is this thing we call worship? How do we understand that from the scriptures? How do we step into that as followers of Jesus Christ? And so that's where we're going to spend most of our time. So before we go any further, I do want to take just a moment and pray together. So let's bow our heads and do that. God, I am both excited to talk about this this topic today and to talk about this truth, and at the same time, I feel just ill-prepared to talk about such a pivotal, central aspect of what it means to be a human being and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So, I'm begging you, and I'm praying that the rest of our church family is begging you as well, is that you would show up in a remarkable way We know that you're living inside through the Holy Spirit of every born-again believer. What I'm asking is if you would make your presence clearly known, that we would recognize that these next few minutes, this whole morning, we have been encountering the living God together, and it would remarkably transform our lives. I ask that the Holy Spirit would identify set points within each one of us that simply aren't biblical. He would challenge them. He would even crush those and move us to the biblical truth of what worship is and what it means to be human in light of that. And so we just lay ourselves before you. You are the Lord. You are God. We are not. And so help us to rejoice in that reality and that truth this morning. Lead us in truth, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at just a couple of verses to start off with. We'll actually just look at verse 1 for right now. And this is what it says in the NIV. Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now, when we're talking about worship, you will not find a verse in the Bible that says, this is what worship is, and then gives you a really clear definition. What you have to do is you have to look across Scripture and see different examples of it, different moments of it, to understand what worship fully is. Because for the Bible, it's a given. Right? When the Bible talks about worship, it's just assumed that that's understood. And I'm not sure that we share the same view that the people of the Scriptures did regarding worship. And so what I'd like to do is give you a very plain, straightforward definition of worship. Because I think worship can be a little bit of an ambiguous term, and a lot of people define it however that they want to define it. So I'd like to give a basic working definition for worship that we're going to use for the next few weeks. And quite frankly, I think we can use it just going forward in general. So here it is. The definition of worship, there's kind of three parts to it, but it's pretty basic. Worship is this. Worship is seeing greatness, right? Visually seeing greatness, wanting it, and then focusing your life to get it. Let me say that again. Worship is seeing greatness, wanting it, and then focusing your life in order to get it. That is a basic definition of worship from the Scriptures. And I want to unpack how that plays out in some different ways. So if you look through the Scriptures, there are different moments, situations, even lives that seem to allow this idea of worship to come forward really clearly. One that comes to my mind is an example from the Old Testament. Some of you may have heard of Abram, later renamed Abraham. This is the father of faith. He's the father of Israel. Abram encounters God's greatness, right? And essentially, he wants God. God says, Abram, go to a place that I'm going to show you later. And Abram spends all of the rest of his life focused on the Lord, right? Now, he has moments that he doesn't get it right, but he spends the rest of his life doing what God asks him to do. And so that's a broad brushstroke of a life of worship, right? Abram encounters God, he wants God, and then he commits his life to following God. If you want to have a New Testament example of a little bit tighter scene, we tend to view this one a little bit more at Christmas time, but there's this group of guys called the Magi, right? And they show up at the birth of Christ. And so the Magi, they encounter God's greatness. We don't know when, we don't know how, but they encountered it. And God basically said, follow this star, and you will then be able to see the Messiah in the flesh. And so we don't know where these guys traveled from, but of their own accord, they encountered God's greatness on their own expense, right? They wanted God, and they traveled to Bethlehem for one reason, to get a glimpse of the Messiah. That was it. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, they rejoiced, they gave him gifts, and then they left, right? That is an example of worship, right? Seeing God's greatness, wanting it, and then focusing your life on that. Another example from the New Testament would actually be found in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. So this is after Jesus' resurrection. He's shown himself alive to the disciples. And look at what it says. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Okay, so there they have seen the greatness of Jesus through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, right? Now he's standing in front of them. He's being taken up into heaven. They see Jesus' greatness. They want him. Look at verse 52. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now, if you know some of the follow-up story from the book of Acts and just history in general, you'll know that the disciples then focus all of their life on Jesus Christ for the rest of their lives. That's worship. They see Jesus' greatness. They want him, and they focus the entire rest of their lives on him alone. That is the definition of worship. Now, there is a key distinction to genuine worship. See, a lot of people in the American church and even here today, you'll go, oh man, worship was so good. You'll go, why? Oh, the quality of the music was good. Oh, worship was so good. Why? Well, I had a chill. You can have the AC really low and get a chill, right? That song means a lot to me, right? And so that's why we worship. Here's how you know you have crossed into genuine worship. Because genuine worship moves past emotions. It includes emotions, but it's more than emotions. Worship moves past experiences. Worship includes experience, but it's more than that. Right? You will know that you have crossed over into genuine worship when you actually start following Jesus with your life. When you leave a moment and now you start sharing with others what you've experienced with God. When your own life is transformed again to look more like Jesus Christ than it did before. That's when you know you've crossed over into genuine worship. If it stops at feelings, that's not worship. If it stops at the experience, that's not worship. If it stops at knowledge and knowing more things about God, that's not worship. Worship always crosses over into actions and into lifestyle. Worship is our response to seeing God. And every time you genuinely see God's greatness, it will transform you and it'll change you. That's what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says as it continues on in that verse. Take a look at that. So the first part is, right, in view of God's mercy, all of those things. And then verse 2, you get to this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the front end is seeing God's greatness, wanting it, focusing your life around it, and the outflow of that is I'm now resisting the patterns and the culture of this world. I'm being transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit, coming to look more like the character of Jesus Christ. And the outflow of that is I now begin to understand what God's desires are with greater clarity, which then leads to more worship, right? It's this wonderful cycle when people genuinely step into worship. It becomes a life changed by God, a life that is focused on God and his priorities. That is the genuine outflow of worship. So a less helpful question is this: am I worshiping? That's actually not a very helpful question. Why? Because we are created for worship. You're made up. It's just in your DNA. It's a part of your creation, your design. And so an unhelpful question is, am I worshiping? A more helpful question is this: what am I worshiping? What am I worshiping? Because we are always worshiping. We are worshipers by creation. We are worshipers by design. And what tends to happen to you and to me is we tend to worship wrong things, or we tend to worship wrong ways. We either worship wrong things or we worship wrong ways, and those of us who are really good do both at the same time, right? So worshiping wrong things. What that looks like is this, right? Worship is seeing greatness, wanting it, and focusing my life around it. Worshiping wrong things is this: seeing someone else's success, wanting it, and focusing your life in order to get their success. And that comes out in all kinds of different ways, right? Maybe you see someone else's wealth and you go, that's what I want. And you focus your life to gain wealth. Maybe you see their influence and go, that's what I want. And you focus your life around getting that kind of an influence, right? And so that's the issue of worship, right? And so we can worship wrong things, but we can also worship wrong ways. This is one of the primary issues with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, right? There's a prophet by the name of Isaiah, and he's speaking on behalf of God. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, God says this: "These people approach me with their speeches to honor me with lip service, yet their hearts are far from me, and human rules direct their worship of me." And so they're doing things, right, in the right, they're focused on the right things, but look what's going on. The way they're doing it, it's empty. And so you can be focused on the Lord and actually not be worshiping him at all. You're simply going through the motions. You're following whatever the religious rules are of your culture and of your time. And you have to understand this, is that God sees past my clapping on Sunday morning and sees my heart on whether I'm genuinely worshiping or not. God sees past your singing or your smile or your hand raising and knows whether this is religious mechanicalism because you're in the right setting with the right song and the right lighting and the right whatever, and so mechanistically you do that. And he sees our hearts past the exterior. See, I can fool you, and you can fool me, but we will never be able to fool the Lord because he sees past all of that into our hearts. And so the challenge is that you can worship the wrong things, and you can worship the wrong ways. And the reason this is so important is because if you're worshiping the wrong thing, if you're worshiping the wrong ways, what you worship shapes your life. What you worship shapes your life. Now, the hard truth is that many of us in this room, many of us joining online, we are actually worshiping wrong things. We are worshiping wrong ways, right? And we don't even realize it. We don't even catch that. We don't even understand that. So the question then becomes this: well, how do you know? How do you know if you're worshiping wrong things? How do you know if you're worshiping wrong ways? Like, how am I supposed to know if that's going on in my heart? Here's a couple of questions I might do, or things you might look at. Look at your goals. Some of you are goal setters. You love setting goals and you love accomplishing goals. What are your goals? To reach a certain income level by a certain age? To be at a certain career level by some point? To be married by a certain time period or whatever, to have accomplished some things? Or are your goals, I hope I look more like Jesus in 6 months, and I'm setting my focus on that. I'm harboring unforgiveness in me, and I want to be able to give away forgiveness the way that Jesus gave it away to me freely. What are your goals? Look at them, right? Look at your expenses, right? Once you get past what you have to live, right? Your house, your utilities, food, all that kind of stuff. Look at your expenses. That will help you see what you worship, right? What we spend our money on. Who are you following on social media, right? If you follow the certain people who will give you the insights to be able to get to where they are in life, right? Is this so that you can have more comfort, so you can have more influence, so you can have more ability to reach the goal that you want to reach? What are those? And here's a question. Listen, what do I really want? Have you asked yourself that question? What do I really, really, truly want? And then have the audacity to be honest with yourself. Because God sees past what you would say externally or what you would try to fool yourself into. There have been times when I have just told God, God, I'm going to be straight up with you because you know my heart anyways. I want this thing, and it is in opposition to you and your character. You're going to have to deal with me. Right? You're going to have to change my heart. You're going to have to transform my thinking to come in alignment with you and to realize that wanting this thing is completely to the side of you and your character. To take time to think through, what do you believe will really make you happy? Do you really believe that more money will make you happy? Do you believe that a relationship with this kind of a person will make you more happy? Do you believe living in this area code, living in, wherever it is, whatever, just think through, what do I really think will make me the most happy? As you work through those questions, you'll begin to figure out what you worship and how you worship. The challenge is a lot of people are afraid to do that, right? It's much easier to just go in through the motions and work through that as opposed to think through that. But I've got to tell you this, you are not created to worship other created things. That is too low a value for your worship. You were not created to worship other created things. You were not created to worship other people. You were not created to worship other things. The only one who is worthy of your worship is God alone. And no one else, nothing else. To worship created things is a waste. So what do we need? What do we need at our core? I'll tell you what we need. What we really need is true worship. That's what we need at the baseline, true worship. What we need more than anything is to see God in his greatness, to want God, and then to focus all of our life on God alone. That's what we need. That's true worship, seeing God's greatness, wanting God, and focusing our lives on God. And the clearest view of God's greatness is Jesus Christ. If you want to see the greatness of God, it's Jesus, right? Jesus went so far as to say this, if you've seen me, then you have seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen God. In other places, it talks about Jesus is the glory of God, the radiance of his light. In Christ, you see God's closeness. You see his care. You see his holiness. In Jesus, you see God's justice and his wisdom and his mercy and his power and his meekness, right? If you want to see God's greatness, you look at Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, did you know that Jesus was tempted to worship wrong things in wrong ways? Do you know that? He was tempted. Jesus was tempted to worship wrong things in wrong ways. The account is found in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 8 and 10, but it's actually wider than that. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. This is after Jesus' baptism. This is after he's affirmed by the Father, the voice of the Father and the Spirit as the Son of God. Then it says that he was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And look at verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Verse 10 says, and Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You have to see that Jesus, the Son of God himself, was tempted to worship wrong things, and to worship wrong ways. But he didn't. He resisted it. Why? Because Jesus knew the greatness of the Father. All Jesus wanted was the Father and the Spirit, and he focused all of his earthly existence on the Father and the Spirit. That's worship. And you're going to have all kinds of opportunities and temptations to worship something else. And yet, true worship is seeing God's greatness, wanting him, and focusing all of your life on him alone. And Jesus so clearly desired God that he focused his earthly life all the way to the cross. Do you realize that Jesus' death on the cross? Yes, he died for you in your place because he loves you. And just as equally, Jesus died in your place because he loves God enough to do that. His focus was so singularly on pleasing the Father, bringing joy to the Spirit, letting God be seen so clearly, evidently in this world. That is worship. And he lives today. Scripture says he lives today for the glory of the Father. That is the truest worship there is, and that is the worship we need. All these other counterfeit versions of worship, you have to realize these are all pitches in the dirt. These are all waste of time. They will steal from you rather than giving back to you. So in light of that, what do we do, right? If worship is seeing greatness, wanting it, and focusing our lives around it, and we do that wrong things in wrong ways, but the truest form is to see God, want God, and focus our lives all around God, what do we do then? Focus all of your life on God. That's the invitation. The invitation is to focus all of your life on God himself. And what I'd like to do is to really quickly bring forward three barriers that get in the way to focusing your life on God. There are three common barriers, three reasons why we don't worship God. And you usually deal with one, two, or perhaps all three of them, right? Here's the first barrier, is you don't see God's greatness. The reason you don't worship God is because you don't see his greatness. That was actually my story. So I was not raised in the church. I did not go to church. I walked past churches and wondered, what goes on in there? And then didn't care after about three steps of asking that question, right? And kept on living my life. I was blind to the reality that there was a God and how great and awesome he was. And so for some of you, the barrier is just that you don't see God's greatness. So how do you cross into that? Well, the place you see God's greatness is actually in the scriptures. You see God's greatness by looking at Jesus in the scriptures, right? For some of you, the way to break through the barrier of seeing God's greatness, the greatest thing you might do is to simply read the Bible or to ask one of your believing friends, talk to me about the good news of Jesus. Why are you so focused on Jesus? And let them tell you the story of who Jesus is and how he changed their lives. That might be one of the greatest ways for you to break through that barrier of not being able to see God's greatness. Another thought, too, is Josh mentioned that connection card earlier in the service. Next Sunday, we've got our class coming up called How to Read the Bible. That'd be a really great class for some of you who are seeking to discover who God is and to see his greatness. We will actually teach you how to read the scriptures and how to see God's greatness in the scriptures, which can open your eyes. But that's a common barrier that a lot of people have, is they simply don't see God's greatness. Now, some of you, you've seen God's greatness, but here's your barrier. You've seen it and you've seen him. You just don't want him. And some of you, it would be a really good gift for you to just be really honest about that. I know who God is. I know what the scriptures say, and I don't want him. If you would be that honest with where you're at, right? Because what you have is you've said, there's something else that will satisfy my life better than God. There's something else I want. There's something else that I think will fulfill me. And you have to understand, this is a heart issue. I can't give you four steps to wanting God. They don't exist. They're not out there, right? Can't be done. But for some of you, the greatest thing for you might just be to admit, I want this other thing instead of God, and just admit it and be open before the Lord on that thing, right? You believe something else is more powerful, something else is more effective, or maybe you're just afraid to give up control of your life. All common things that genuine believers wrestle with as well, right? Do you know what the crossover moment is? You know, it's a crossover moment. Somebody who wants God. Two things. One, you see your desperate need for God and that nothing else will satisfy like he does. And the way you get there is you ask the Holy Spirit to change your heart. This is a supernatural thing. This is a supernatural work of God that you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit, would you show me how to want God? Would you change my heart? I am focused on this. I want to chase this. I want to go after this thing instead because I think this will satisfy me. But this guy up here on stage, he's telling me that it won't. And I think he might be right. So would you give me the desire to want you instead? That's the only way you cross that, right? The Holy Spirit opens your eyes to your desire and your need for him. So some of you have never seen God's greatness. Some of you have seen God's greatness, but you don't want him. And then here's the third barrier. You've seen God's greatness. You want God, but here's your barrier. You don't focus your life on him. You've seen his greatness, you want him, and yet you are still focused on this other thing. You are still chasing this other thing, pursuing this other thing in your life. Or you thought, well, Christianity is just living off of this one moment, right? Like I prayed my prayer in 1978, and I'm good, and that's all you do. And you just look back on that moment, and that's you live your life however you want to. And it's like, no. No, not at all. This isn't you focus your life one day on a prayer and you live off of that moment. This is a daily thing. And the reality is, the reason you don't focus your life on God is nobody taught you how. Nobody discipled you. Nobody showed you how to worship God. And so what you're doing is you show up on Sunday mornings and you go through the motions that you see other people doing and you go, that must work for them. They seem to be living a pretty good life. I'll do that too. But you don't realize that their lives, Sunday through Saturday, is what sources the 90 minutes or so that happens here, right? I'm not living off of an encounter on Sunday morning the rest of my life. Man, it's every day getting up, putting my attention on the Lord, focusing him. Getting up in the morning and going, man, I want to do what I want to do today. And then I punch Fritz in the face and go, that's stupid, right? We're giving our life to Jesus again because he's still Lord and he's still alive. And he's the only one worthy of your worship, you idiot, right? Like that, these are the conversations that I have with myself, right? You're battling, you're wrestling, you're fighting the flesh, all of that, right? Listen, guys, let me tell you what worship is. Worship is living every day in a posture of bowing down before God. It's every day lifting your hands in praise and surrender. It's every day thanking God for what he's done. Every day praising him. Every day living in fear of him. And I don't mean afraid. Fear is in I know what he's capable of from the scriptures. And I am in awe that he would even notice a bug like me, right? Every day is living in submission to the Spirit, looking to serve God and his desires over and above my own. That's what worship is. Worship is remembering every day is that it should not have been Jesus on the cross. It should have been me. And then your response is gratitude that it wasn't you. And it was him. Worship is battling against temptation day in and day out, sometimes minute in and minute out, and refusing to chase after sin's slick sales tricks to get you to buy. It's worshiping God in every moment. It's worshiping, recognizing that when you get up in the morning, that is an act of worship. That when you drive to work, you drive to the glory of the Lord. That when you're buying groceries, you do it in a way that brings praise and honor to Jesus Christ. When you're washing dishes, when you're raising kids, when you're facing suffering in your life, every single moment is a moment of worship because it's all his anyways. It doesn't matter, right? Jesus made a very profound statement that I think we miss quite often. It's a moment where he's talking with a woman and they start to get into this conversation about religion and worship and right and wrong and all of those things. And the conversation's much larger than this, but I want to zoom in on one moment. In John chapter 4, verse 21, Jesus says this to the woman. I'd like to read this verse out loud together, starting with, "A time is coming." Are you ready? Go. "A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." The point that Jesus is making is there's no longer, and we're in that time now, by the way, there is no longer one place that is sacred, and that's where worship happens. But in fact, worship takes place everywhere. All places. Why? Because the temple is not limited to one location in Jerusalem. Guess where the temple of God is? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, you know where the temple of God is? anywhere you go. Why? Because you are the temple of God. This is what 1 Corinthians says. You house the Spirit of God in you, which means worship is everywhere that you are. And if you seclude worship to this building at this location during this time frame, you are limiting worship grossly. You weren't created for this moment. You know what Jesus was talking about? He's talking about blurring the lines. Blurring the lines so clearly that you can't even distinguish everyday life from worshiping God. It all just comes together. It's just one thing, right? So I want to invite you to consider a next step. It's on the back of your card. Our team actually created this thing. We're calling it the 28 Days of Blurring the Lines Daily Worship Text Reminder. .com, .net, .org, .gov. Try to see how many things we could get in there, right? But essentially what this would do, if you sign up for this, and it's only going to be for those who sign up, so don't worry about it, if you don't want to be a part of this, is every day for the next 28 days, you will receive one reminder at the beginning of your day inviting you to blur the lines. To blur the lines. And there's going to be different things each day. So if that's something that you think would be helpful for you to get that worship reminder, check that box. Make sure your mobile number is legibly written on the front. Some of you guys, when I pray for you, I just pray like the Spirit takes over because I got no idea what you wrote, right? None. You're going to have to intercede, Spirit. I got no clue what's going on here. So put that in legibly, and we'll help you, right? That's what we do. We help each other walk with Jesus. We help each other say yes to Jesus. That's what it is. And this might be a tool to help you focus all of your life on God. But listen, start blurring the lines. Start blurring the lines between worship and life, because it's all just one thing, right? Like, listen, there is no like work life and church life and gym life and school life and, you know, all these categories we've broken into. You know how the Bible describes it? It's just life. There's no segments. It's just life. There's just one life. You're one person everywhere you go. And so why not invite worship to lead the way, to let the Spirit lead the way in all of that? How do you know you've crossed into genuine worship? How do you know? It never stops with you. Genuine worship always bleeds over into another person's life. If you've genuinely encountered the greatness of God, if you genuinely want God and you focus your life on Him, it can't help but make its way into someone else's life. You are going to tell someone else about how great God is. You are going to help them see who God is and His character. It never stops at you. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to help each other learn how to blur the lines of worship and work, blur the lines of worship and home. And for those of us who are in it now, or if you're not, chances are you will be at some point. We're going to learn how to blur the lines between worship and suffering, because the two don't cancel each other out. In fact, it's in times of suffering that sometimes the greatest worship makes its way through us. It's learning to live a life of worship, seeing God, wanting God, and focusing all of my life on Him alone. And if you want to blur the lines, make God the focus of your whole life, all of your life, all of it. That's the pathway forward. I want to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes. We ask this question every Sunday. If you are part of the Lighthouse family, you know that we always end on this. And the reason is, you've heard me talk for the last few minutes. My prayer is, while I've been talking, you've heard the Spirit speak to you with great clarity. And now I want to give you more time to just listen to Him. And so just ask them this question: Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want to give you a chance to listen to Him. Well, we want to pray for you. And so here's what's going to happen. You're going to have an opportunity to pray. By the way, this is worship still. This is a time to focus our lives on God and His greatness. And so what's going to happen is we are going to have prayer leaders who will be available in basically the corners of the room. I'm going to ask those prayer leaders if they would make their way there now. So we'll have one near the TVs in the front, then we'll have two near the back in the sound booth, and most times we'll have a lanyard on that lets you know that they're available to pray with you about anything at all. The band's going to lead us in just one more song, and during this song, if you would like to pray, if you'd like to continue worshiping God through prayer, then what you'll do is you'll just slip out of your seat, head down one of the aisles towards the front of the room or the back of the room, and you'll say, hey, my name's Fritz. I was wondering if you could pray with me about this thing, right? And these leaders are trained, and they are excited and would absolutely love to pray with you about anything this morning. And if you're newer here, you don't have to be a member of Lighthouse to receive prayer. Anybody can receive prayer. You don't have to be embarrassed. Sometimes there's like a level of embarrassment or shame that's like, oh, I have a need or whatever. Like, nope. No, actually, you would be leading the way for some others who desperately want to pray, but for whatever reason, there's a barrier, and they'll go, oh, wait, maybe I'll go today too. So I'm going to ask, by the way, if you're joining online, we have hosts right now. You can click on that button for a prayer request, and they will engage with you in prayer live right now. They're excited and ready to do that with you as well. So I'm going to ask those who are in the house, let's stand together as we continue worshiping. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to invite you to come to one of these corners and pray as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.